All right, yeah, this is the NFNLP forum. This is for NFNLP members. I want to do quite a few of them Facebook Live, try to build it up. And it's about raising everyone up, try to make NFNLP a little bit more popular and answer some questions, get it in a format people can understand, maybe bring in new people. So that's what we'll be talking about. Some questions coming in, I'll answer those. Then again, I'm going to teach like three specific, if you want to call them that, you know, if you decode, at least in my view, a little bit of what NLP techniques of Jesus. So I'm starting the Facebook Live. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. All right, good. We're live on Facebook over there. For my Zoom group over here. So today it's the NFNLP forum. It's something we thought about doing for quite a while, and it'll be every Wednesday at noon. I'll be doing quite a few Facebook Lives. Hi, everybody. And that's to build momentum, and it'll always be recorded for my group. And eventually I'll get the proper software so I can do both from one computer. So bear with me as my eyes move back and forth and I have to do, a different thing. So I've got to do one thing. Excuse me. I'm going to lean in on this camera. Okay, cool. All right. Welcome again. This is the NFNLP forum. And today, again, we're going to start with a couple questions people sent in. And I'll answer those. And if you have any questions, you can, if you're on my email list, email them in, message me on Facebook, for those that are on Facebook, and we can answer the questions. We can spend time. Eventually, the NFNLP member forum will also bring in members to talk about different things, things they're good at, things they're working on. Of course, off the top of my head, since he's on this call over here, Charles Crenshaw may do a little thing one day just on how to add, how to appeal to the meditation off audience using NLP and hypnosis, whatever it happens to be. And, because it's all about growing as a group and as well as growing individually. So, today, let's just get started. I had a couple questions that came in. Number one was, is there a resurgence in people wanting certifications? Well, as a training organization, and we have trainers everywhere. And again, we didn't really start out to do this. There's a whole backstory to how it started. One day I'll talk about that. But I've been blessed with it. But I got a lot of trainers that certify people. Yes, there seems to be. Hey, Cheryl, how are you doing? Saw her at HypnoThoughts. Again, yes, there seems to be a resurgence of people wanting certifications in NLP and in hypnosis. We certify people, of course, in all levels of NLP. We also certify in what they call neurolinguistic hypnosis, which I'll be teaching in Lebanon in October. But there seems to be, because we're getting quite a few people, requesting their certificates, their trainers for NFNLP. And hey, Jimmy Susanto is on Facebook. So I'm shouting out to people. So on both. There seems to be. We have a whole bunch. We actually got behind with me traveling and everything on all the certificates to be signed. Some of my trainers that are active and that have built their name and are doing things have said that they're getting more students that are coming in that want the certification, that want, not just the specialty trainings, one day NLP for sales or NLP for this. They want more of the certification trainings. So that's a good thing for us trainers. You could put together classes. In fact, I've been asked to come to Atlanta and do a training and a couple other places. So that's good news. That was one of the questions. Does there seem to be a resurgence? There seems to be some in hypnosis from what I said. And again, it always prefaces with how active is your marketing. One day on the forum, we'll all talk about marketing, how to use Facebook Live, how to leverage Facebook, how to leverage that with other things that you do to get students in, students in seats. I used to say butts in chairs, but now it's SIS, students in seats, which is what we wanted for trainers, and which you'll also bend back into getting clients if you just have a practice. Hey, Ryan. So, and again, like I said, I just bounced from two different conferences. And saw a lot of interesting things and talked to a lot of people in different NLP and hypnosis groups. And this seems to be going on. So, and it could be because the economy is getting ready to change. I don't know. I'm not putting anything like negative out there, but I know when those things happen, other things seem to take off. Right. And because people, spend money on self, some of people will spend money on self-development because their jobs are training, changing and other things. So yes, that was a question. Does there seem to be a resurgence? The second is kind of goes with that is it possible to leverage Facebook Live to help get live clients into your training and into your clinic? And of course I would say yes. And from hanging out, especially at the last conference with a lot of the internet people, that's what they're doing. They're using Facebook Live. It's one of the reasons I'm doing this on the, NFNLP forum, because, you know, even though it may only look like when you're doing a Facebook Live at any given time, you got 2, 4, 6 people and you know, how many views it gets, it can be exponential growth. And that's why people leverage Facebook Live. And kind of with that, the person to ask, I won't give their name, but they go, how do you get comfortable doing Facebook Lives? Because they said, I look pretty comfortable doing it and doing this. Is it because besides doing hundreds of trainings, which makes you more comfortable in front of people? As many of you know, I'm an actor and I've done a lot of film work, you know, working with the camera. Honestly, no, I got more comfortable as I did it more and more. You know, the more you do it, the more comfortable you become, to use our more and more pattern, right? I started doing it with the horse just to do it. It was like, I really started doing it last year. And it was no branding method, I'll be honest. At these conferences, you know, people run around, you're the blue guy and the guy with the blue wall with the beach scenes, right? And I'm like, you know, and everybody's asking me about my horses, you know, because I'd always, you know, do a Facebook Live from the barn with, you know, with the horses in the background. And my one horse loves, absolutely loves to be on camera. He'll come up and hang over your shoulder. It's like, you know, he's a wannabe actor. So I just started doing it, and it kind of branded me in an interesting way. It gives people something to come up and ask, you know, for what I do, like at a conference or something like that. Or if I haven't done a Facebook Live from the barn, I might get a message from someone going, well, how's the horses? How's Penny? You know, because she had some health challenges. And it's fun, you know, and the way you get more comfortable is just to do it. You know, you just set it up and you just pretend you're looking at a person. You know, you don't pretend you're looking at the camera. Like this one has the blue light and that one has that. And by the way, it's really helped me in my film acting, because I can, what do they say? The trick to film acting is you're always aware of the camera, but you don't notice it. I heard Nicholson or Streep or somebody say that. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? You're aware of the camera, but you don't notice it. What that means is you know where your sight line is, but yeah, you know, that's an acting thing. But anyway, how do you get comfortable? Again, I just pretend I'm talking to somebody, you know, that's actually asking the question, and how would I explain it that way? Don't worry about the camera. Also, the current thing is with Facebook, according to people that really do Facebook Live, Tom Nicoli, and some of the people do a lot of Facebook Live, Dan Kandel, some of these people, is to just do it natural. Don't have a script. Don't worry about being letter perfect. Don't worry about everything being, you know, your hair perfect, your makeup perfect. At times that might be good. This one I'm in a better space, you know, and, you know, I cleaned up. But when I'm doing it in the morning from the barn, I really am out there cleaning the stalls. And Florida's rather hot. And let's face it, you know, it'll be in the 90s at 9 o'clock in the morning and humid. So I'll be drenched in sweat. You know, hair is messed up, haven't shaved, and I'll start doing a Facebook Live. Well, it makes you real to people, right? It's not I'm out there in the, you know, pressed country shirt, the perfect cowboy hat, talking about, you know, working with horses, when intellectually you say that's nice, but your subconscious would pick up like you're not really doing it, because anybody that's ever been around horses, especially cleaning barns, knows, guess what? You don't quite look that way when you're cleaning the barn, right? And if you tie it in, you know, Dan Kandel, here's a way to use it. He just started doing, I think he calls it walk with coffee or coffee walk or something. And it would be, you know, every morning when he was at his office, he'd take a break and go down and get coffee. And he would just do random thoughts as he's walking, and people love it, you know, and it builds your credibility and it kind of brands you, right? And you get ideas as you're doing those kind of Facebook Lives. Of course, I started the whole one with the barn. It gives you a whole bunch of metaphors. You know, every day when I'm cleaning the stall, sometimes I'll talk about how it's a good metaphor for NLPers and hypnotists, that's really what our clients have done. They've not cleaned their stall in 20 years. So their stall is full of horseshit, basically, right? And so you got to clean it out. But guess what? Once your stall's clean, you still got to clean it out daily or almost daily, right? You can't let this stuff accumulate, right? Because it accumulates fast. And then it's an overwhelming job. You know, if you wait several days to go to the barn to try to clean it up, it's a big job as it is with the two horses. It's a full wheelbarrow or more every day. But, you know, if I waited a couple of days, first of all, it's terrible for the horses, you know, and it stinks, it draws flies. Yeah, there's metaphors, exponential growth on that. It's so cool, right? And even when I'm out in the pasture, and one day I did one because an eagle landed, you know, on the fence, just hanging. I think he's looking for a rabbit, but he's just sitting on the fence. What a cool shot to be sitting there with the, you know, doing a Facebook Live, and I could point out, there's the eagle, you know, and just carry on a conversation, or a hawk, you know, or heron. I mean, I live in Florida, and where the horses are, there's a big pond and all that stuff. So that's some ways you can leverage Facebook. Right. And then and I'm guilty of not doing this enough. Always mention about what you're doing and how your clients can get in touch with you. Right. So like your next training, you know, like I'll be doing a NLP Essentials of NLP in Las Vegas in September. And, you know, you might put a link when you post it or whatever you're doing. Or if you're doing it to get clients, you know, how do they get in touch with you? Right. And then I will bring someone on and then probably later in the fall about Facebook advertising, about how you do it for your clinic versus how you do it for other stuff. And I know people have done phenomenally well getting clients from Facebook ads, leveraging their Facebook Lives to bring in local clients for just change work. It's fascinating stuff. And it keeps changing, so you got to stay on top of it. So those were a couple of the questions I got. Again, you know, if people have, the other thing when you're doing a Facebook Live, I learned this the hard way, that you always say, click like and share. If you like this, click like and share. You know, or if you're doing something on YouTube, several times during, say, if you like this, click like and share. And someone said, if you just do the little thumbs up, you know, it adds compliance by about 10%, because of course on Facebook and on YouTube, it says like, dislike, right? So if you're doing this, and there are many people who will do it without thinking, they'll just click like, and that's how you make things go viral. And if you say click like and share and leave a comment, and actually it's more important to say and leave a comment, that's how things go viral, right? And then the trick and the thing I'm always got to remind myself to do is go through later and respond to the people that actually leave a comment, even if it's hi or they're there, if they say anything. So leave a comment, and you go in and you got to like their comment. It creates that interaction, and the Facebook algorithm, I gave a talk on this, that's what picks it up. So if there's a few likes on a video, a few shares, and a few comments, and you go back and re-comment, then it gets exponential growth in their algorithms. I don't understand that. Charles studied computers, but it picks it up as growing, and then it may throw you into the viral loop, right? And it will pick up, and you should title your Facebook Lives, because Facebook may pick up the title, especially if you get a few likes, a few shares, a few people mentioning things. It may put it in where it'll just pop up on other people's lives, maybe people in your group, but maybe other people, right? So it's kind of fascinating, and it's ever growing, ever growing. So those were some questions. Again, if you have questions, leave me a comment on Facebook Live so I can talk about it on Wednesday. If there's any specific topic people want to hear for the NFNLP forum, excuse me. Coming from damp Florida, going to Las Vegas for a few days for that super dry heat, and then coming back here, it's kind of played havoc with my sinuses. So if you have questions or you want a topic, just let me know. It doesn't have to be me talking about it. I don't claim to be an expert at many things, but we could find an expert. There's a lot of wonderful people in our groups to talk about. So that was the couple questions I got that came to the surface. And again, it'll always be here on my Zoom for my people on my email list and on Facebook Live for a while. So now I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I said I'd talk about the NLP techniques of Jesus. Got a lot of interesting feedback about that. There's a guy, somewhere I have it, he actually wrote his doctoral dissertation for his theology doctorate on hypnosis and NLP of Jesus. And it's a really cool book or dissertation. If anybody's interested, get in touch with me and I'll see if I have permission to share it. I don't know if he's turned it into a book. And there's Dan Kandel. Hey, Dan, do your job. Click like, share, and leave a comment. So let's talk a little bit about that, right? And I don't claim to be a biblical scholar, not in the least. I don't even know the book that well, I'll be honest, right? But, you know, when I started this and studying stuff, and this is not to be that controversial, I don't want to start arguments, it's just my take of a few things from talking to people that are, you know, scholars. In fact, there's a guy in Malaysia who has a whole NLP spirituality based on the Quran, right? Which is an interesting take, you know, and I read it. It made a lot of sense. Kind of interesting stuff. But anyway, what I want to talk about is when I say, like, what are some of the NLP techniques of Jesus, is how can we take what we know about NLP, the structure, right? And then what did Jesus actually say, or we think he said, because the book's been rewritten, I don't know how many times. But the ones that make it through, like, you know, the things in Mark from Sermon on the Mount and some of these others, these little quotes, these little things on there. Well, and like my friend, when he did his dissertation, stressed that, you know, Jesus and Muhammad always spoke in parables because that's just how people learned back then. They didn't have the way we learn now with logic. You know, most people couldn't read or write. You know, there's a big debate. Could even Jesus read or write, right? Because he was never technically trained as a rabbi. And even then, it was told by stories, by metaphor, and that's what it was. And so they spoke in stories. They spoke in metaphorical language so people could understand. So if you take that attitude in and quit thinking that it's a literal interpretation and it's a metaphorical, then it changes how you look at things. So I was going to talk about the three things really quick. I know people's time is valuable. And one is, I would call it, you know, Jesus' swish pattern. How's that sound? You know, and it has to do with, and he did it in a metaphor, which was Daniel in the lion's den, right? And you know, in the story, Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel was a man of faith, and he was condemned for being a man of faith. And so he was thrown into the lion's den to get eaten. And so if you could imagine being in that situation, right, all you can see is lions because they're going to eat you, right? And so he prayed, and what he got so when he went to pray, he turned and faced the light. So he turned his back on the lions and was facing his salvation, you know, his light. In this case, it would be, you know, God, because I always remember if Jesus was talking about, he wasn't talking about facing me, he was talking about facing God. And so the swish pattern was, I think he was telling people, is like in the swish pattern, we have like whatever the problem is, biting your fingernails, turn your attention away from that toward your salvation, right? Toward your salvation. And, you know, if I'm working on fingernails, my salvation is to have fingernails, to quit biting my fingernails. If it's smoking, to turn away from the cigarette toward being a non-smoker. If it's weight, to turn away from the food and being fat to being thin. If you're sick, your salvation's health, you know? And at least that interpretation works for me when I look at it from an NLP standpoint, right? That it's, you know, and when you're in a problem, that's all you can see. You know, just like if you're, you know, if your problem is like drinking beer, That's all you can see is that. That's not beer. That's a glass of water. You know, that's all you can see. But if you turn away from it, literally turn your back on it, or in our case, flip that picture and look at your salvation, you beyond the problem, you way beyond the problem. That's what I would call a swish pattern. And he did it in metaphor. And so that would be like one of the NLP techniques that he used. Another one, which I really like, and again, in a metaphorical form, is that all of your desires are God-given. All of your desires, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, every one of your desires are God-given. And they're not to be condemned, right? And it's kind of a reframe he did that, you know, that the universe or God lives through you. And so you need to embrace your desires because God knows you. He said, you know, his Father knows you wants it. Yeah, I speak for a living. I was just at two conferences. That God knows you want it before you say it, right? But he kind of stressed, you need to say it. You need to, you know, you need to make the word flesh. You need to say it. And when you say it, it becomes real. So therefore, then whatever your desire is God-given, right? And it's when you condemn your desires, you know, that then they go inside and you can't get them. We're afraid to talk about our desires. We're afraid to open up to them because then they lay a level of judgment. The outside, not God, lays a level of judgment on whatever your desires are. And, you know, if all your desires are God-given, that's kind of cool. So then, you know, 10 of us are together and we all have I usually use the analogy, we desire a scrumpulent desire, a great meal, and we all have the same meal. We'll have 10 different experiences. Some may enjoy this, some may enjoy that, some may enjoy this, you know, or if we all buy a certain brand of car, we'll have different experiences. But the universe, God, if you will, experiences it that many different ways, excuse me, because it's coming through your senses. And that's how that universal consciousness or God gets more and more database of information that you can draw from. So, you know, and it kind of led to the Shakespearean quote, you know, nothing is neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so, right? Which he took from the Bible. So it's how you think about your desires. Do you condemn your desires or do you embrace your desires? Whatever that desire happens to be, you know, because especially when Jesus came along, he just said, you know, love other people, you know, love God with all your heart and soul, and then love other people the same way and treat people how you want to be treated. His method or his, you know, preaching on that was very simple. He didn't have a lot of the rules and regulations. So it's kind of interesting. So that was the second one, is about all your desires are God-given, and how you embrace them will also help you achieve them, and then having the courage to speak about them. And lastly, I was going to do three today. If people want more, I'll break out that other thing. I taught a class on this a long time ago. And that is when Jesus talked about the faith of a mustard seed. Right? And, of course, that got transcribed into our current methodology, I think, or what we talk about, is that it only takes a little bit of faith because a mustard seed's tiny, right? And then when it's planted, if it takes shape, it becomes this mustard seed's pretty good-sized tree. A mustard seed makes a pretty good-sized mustard tree. And when people talk about that, I think what's misunderstood, the way I would look at it, is, yes, that mustard seed is small, right? But the only thing, hey, Kevin Hogan, how are you? The only thing that mustard seed can become is a mustard plant. That's it. It cannot do anything else. It can't be a palm tree. You can't plant a mustard seed and say, why the hell didn't I get a palm tree? So you have to make sure, you know, this whole idea of your of planting a seed is it has to be total. It has to be exactly what you want, and it has to be no other thing within it. You know, so if you plant a mustard seed, you get a mustard plant. You know, you plant an acorn, you get, that's an oak tree. An oak tree takes me a moment. You know, whatever it is, but we confuse it. It only takes a little bit. It takes absolute faith. That's the trick, because that mustard seed only knows how to become a mustard plant. So you have to have absolute faith that the seed is going to work. And I would add that also with that is it's not just one seed. You know, any farmer knows you don't plant one seed. You plant a few seeds. They're the exact seed, and it's going to grow the same plant, but you have to plant that seed more than once, right? Why? Because you don't know when it's going to take root, if you will, right? And so if you want to think about it that way, it's having absolute faith in what you want, right? Absolute faith in what you want. And then you have to believe it'll happen, you know? And again, as he said, you have to live as if it's happening. The whole, you know, visualization, secret kind of movement, which is, you know, have your desire, focus on your desire, focus on it a lot, not just once, right? Focus on it several times a day, then let it go. The same way you plant a seed, you don't stand there and stare at it constantly, but you may keep checking on it, if you will, or keep nurturing it. It's not like dig it up and see what the hell's wrong with you, you little bastard. Why aren't you growing, right? But you need to nurture it. You need to water it. And in the analogy, you know, that I like is that, you know, you're watering it by putting more energy into that ultimate mustard seed that you've planted, whether it's your bigger career, a better relationship, overcoming a health challenge, whatever it is, planting the seed, nurturing that seed with good thought, good energy, and then believing it's going to happen. And then, of course, as we all know, the hard part is living as if it's happened, you know, and being grateful for it before it happens. Because now some of the research, some of the research on gratitude said it opens up different pathways of your mind, right? Because you're grateful for something after you've achieved it. That's the way we were trained as children. Right? You get grateful for your present, your ice cream, whatever it is. Great. Ooh, we got it. All right. Right? So you get that. So then as an adult, if you start being grateful for things you haven't received yet, it flips your brain into it must happen. Right? So you're pre-planting that gratitude. Like, I'm grateful for being healthy, right? Even though I'm having a health challenge now. Being grateful for you know, whatever it is that you're trying to get, right? You know, oh, Kevin Hogan liked the analysis. Hey, when you get a thumbs up from a master storyteller, it's a kudo. You know, so thanks, Kevin. So you know, having that ultimate, whatever it is you want, make sure that you have the desire for it. Then you make the thought to tie some of these together. Right? That was my game plan. There is a closing some loops here, right? So you have your desire. It's okay to want wealth. It's okay to want a great relationship. It's okay to want a great physical body to be, you know, if you want to look like a bodybuilder, that's great. You know, Charles, some of the people saw my ideal of a 65-year-old guy is, you know, Frank Zane when he was 65, right? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Other people can judge it. But I can't let their judgments get in. And this goes back to I can't let that affect my, when I plant that seed that this is possible. It has to be ultimate. It has to be, this is possible, right? And then I have to be grateful that I already have it, right? And then turn away from the idea of not having it, like Daniel and the lions did. So when you take those three and you put them together, it's a wonderful NLP intervention, if you will. So you get your desire, and first you have to really say what it is, be comfortable with it, ask what you want, and then voice it out, even if it's just to yourself, so you can make that word flesh, right? And so that's your desire, and know that it's okay. And then you develop the seed of what it is you want. What's the solution? How do I get this? What would it look like? You know, of course, if you want something physical, it's kind of easy, a Corvette, a new truck, or you know, whatever it is, right? But what if it's more esoteric, you have to put it in something your brain would understand, because sometimes you can't leave it too esoteric, your brain won't pick it up. But if it's like to increase your financial wealth, you know, through your practice, you have to, like, maybe in that seed is, you know, a full appointment book, a full classroom, whatever it is that you're doing. So you got that, and that's your seed. Now you're going to plant it. And then once you plant it, You have to put that in there with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then turn away from all the distractions or the old you to what the solution is, your salvation. And again, it, you know, and so that is whatever your desire is, because, and then be grateful for it already happening before it happened. So find something you're grateful for that you've been grateful for in the past. Find that feeling of gratitude. You know, what color is it? What shape? Where is it in your body? That, you know, and then tag into that, right? And then begin to let it happen. Later on I'll tag that into, then when it really works, it's that sense of knowing, as Jesus said, you know, be still and know that I am God. So maybe if it's that sense of knowing, when was the last time you knew something would happen that you wanted to have happen, right? And it's that sense of knowing. Can you take that desire? Can you be comfortable with that desire? Can you make it into like a seed so you can plant it in your subconscious? This is what I want. This is what I'll see, hear, and feel when I have this desire. And then you plant it. It gets planted in your subconscious mind. So you have to nurture it. And then you have to turn away from everything and toward your salvation, which is you already having it, enjoying it, whether it's the relationship, the physical health, the money, whatever it happens to be. So, you know, that's kind of my one little intervention, you know, and I've actually done that with some people came to my office once that were, one was a Pentecostal minister, right? And he didn't want none of that hypnosis, but he knew I could help him flip a few things in his mind. And so, and I just used, and I just read that thing that his name just fell out of my, I can picture him, name just fell out of my head, that wrote that dissertation. So I just used some of his analogies. And of course, Pentecostal minister had his own analogies. And so we used those, and that's where that little thing kind of came together. And so, you know, I should call that Jesus gets you to your goal technique, right? Or something, I don't know. But so play with that. And I'll write that up later and get that out to people. And it could be interchangeable with whatever belief system that you want to use, I think, right? So anyway, that was what I wanted to do today. I wanted to keep these NLP forums, you know, between 30 minutes to no more than 45, because I know people's time is valuable. They have a lot to do. And again, if you have questions, shoot me a text, and if you have my emails, you know, you could email me while we're on the live call. Okay. Charles asked, well, I get that. I know I have that. I can get that to you, Charles. He asked about the one about the Quran. So anyway, there's some cool stuff out there. There are resources. People are looking at that. I love looking at this differently. And so if you have any feedback or anything, make sure you let me know, and we'll share this with people. So again, every Wednesday at noon is the NFNLP forum on Zoom. And I'll be recording this, and this will go into the NFNLP Facebook page. And of course, the Facebook Live will be on my Facebook thing, and I'll put it a few places. And then of course, I'll do a few special NFNLP forums just for the members and things like that. But it's about to grow the whole group, which grows everybody, whether you're a practitioner or a trainer, it helps get the word out. So I'd like to thank everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. It's always fun to do this. I had a wonderful couple weeks. I was at one conference, the NGH conference, teaching there, and that's always a pleasure. And then I went to Las Vegas to HypnoThoughts and taught there, and that's always a pleasure. And it was also too, it was a wonderful experience because it's just two different experiences from two different viewpoints. They're not competing, because it's two different takes, it's two different markets, two different styles, and it's always a lot of fun, right? And there's some overlap with some of us in the hypnosis and the NLP world, but there's enough variety. There's billions of people in the world that want our skill set as practitioner. And then if you drop that down, there's millions of people that probably want more information on this. So, you know, it's just a different way of looking at it. And let's have some fun with it. I'd like to thank you, and again, keep in touch, and I'll talk to you all soon.